There's the way that God sees things, and they're very different. And I want to encourage you today, the biggest trick the enemy has in our lives, one of the biggest holds that he has, is to keep us under condemnation, to keep us under guilt and shame whenever we have been declared free. We learned this back in the early 90s by a famous line that said this: if the glove don't fit, you must acquit. Remember that? From the O.J. Simpson trial. If the glove don't fit, you must acquit. Well, here's what Jesus has done. Jesus has declared us not guilty through his sacrifice. All the sin of the world was poured upon him. But yet we live under a life of bondage and shame and guilt because we are measuring success or victory or morality or holiness based on what we do. We all do that. It's because we've been so programmed and trained to be that way, that every single thing that I do wrong disqualifies me from what God did right. And that's just not the case. I want all of you to leave this morning. When you leave, my goal is that each of you can leave free from the shackles of guilt and shame that you may have on today. Because we have failed, and we will fail again. No matter how much dose of the Holy Ghost you've got, we're going to fail again. We're going to fail tomorrow and the next day and the next day. But the one that never fails has paid the price for us forever. Jesus has never failed. And he took on our sin and our shame and our guilt and became the ultimate sacrifice that we could be free. See, God sees us as redeemed, as forgiven, as reconciled, as children of God. We see ourselves as bad, as nasty, as broken, and guilty, and shameful, and ugly. Two different visions. Which one will you listen to? The one the world says, the one that our flesh says, or the one that God's Word says? This will set you free from your bondage if you ever receive this revelation of how God sees you. What was the point of Calvary if there was something else to be done? What was the point of that dark 3-hour day when the earth grew dark and our Savior endured all of that suffering and pain? What was the purpose of all the prophecies of old? What was the purpose of the resurrection? What was the purpose of any of it if it wasn't enough? It was enough. It is enough. And we need to walk in the victory of it is enough. I know what we've been, and I even know the struggles you have today. We all have them. But the struggle you have today does not take away the effect that Christ did 2,000 years ago. We are the children of God. The Bible says, I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. The Bible says we're ambassadors of Christ. The Bible says, I am the redeemed. We sung that song, I am the redeemed, the church, the redeemed. We are redeemed. I'm not redeemed today and unredeemed tomorrow. I'm redeemed today, tomorrow, and forever. I'm a child today, tomorrow, and forever. I'm forgiven today, tomorrow, and forever, because the blood doesn't lose its power. Glory to God. Amen. How do you see yourself? And that's the problem. Michael Jackson had a song in the 80s, I've said it before, Man in the Mirror, right? I'm looking at the man in the mirror, woo-hoo. I'm asking him to change his ways, woo-hoo. You know what? Thank you very much. You know what? Jesus did change the man in the mirror. Oh. Because now when I look in the mirror, I see the redemptive work of a holy God, that all the wrath of sin was poured upon this one sacrifice, on this one vessel, and it changed who I was. It changed who you were forever. Let's get into some scripture, because I believe in scripture, church, and I'll tell you, I don't preach or teach nothing. I can't back up a scripture. Psalm 103, verse 3. Verse 1, I'm sorry. I had 3 highlighted. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We got any VA guys in here? Go to the VA. Got any VA guys? A few VA guys, right? I bet y'all know your benefits, don't you? You know them benefits. You know how much money you can buy to spend on them shoes to get them diabetic shoes? You know how much your copay is? You know them benefits. We got benefits with God. Look at verse 3. Everybody read that out loud. Who giveth all thine iniquities? Isn't that good news? This is the Bible. This ain't just James talking. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? And man, some of y'all out in there got a bunch of them. You are, as I said one Sunday, some of y'all were big time iniquizers. And who healeth all thy diseases. Next verse. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Doesn't sound like a jackhammer God to me, does it, you? Just drill them on down. I'm just going to nail them on down. He says he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Mercy is giving us something we don't deserve. Mercy is showing compassion and kindness, saying, you know what? The penalty for Gordon's sin is this, but you know what? Nah, he's not going to receive the karma, for some of you spiritual people, he deserves. So I have stepped in to shower him with my loving kindness and my tender mercy. Next verse. This is verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. This is how God sees us. This is what God did for us. God did this to change us, to restore us, to redeem us. So if I really know, Lord, you have forgiven me, why am I walking in a continual life of shame and condemnation and guilt? The price that Jesus paid for me grants me freedom from the power of condemnation. Growing up, we've been trained this way. We've always lived this way of always being so focused-minded on our failures, on our wrongness, on our sins. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 56, 57, that the strength of sin is the law. See, the law was always reminding us. The law is a constant reminder of us breaking it. Do you know the only reason we know if we're speeding or not? Because the law says what the speed limit is. So if you're going down interstate at 70 miles an hour, how many have you looked down? Ooh, I'm going 80. Ooh, I better slow down. Why are you aware you're going 80? Because you're aware the law says 70. And so we're constantly reminded by the law. The strength of sin is the law. The law is the pointing out all of how we were wrong. And grace points out how Christ was right. And so no longer do I have to let the devil always put me in a box saying, you are an absolute nothing and a failure. No, I'm not. I'm not a nothing. I was something enough that Jesus died for me. And he called my name. And he paid a precious price. And you are a liar, devil, and I will not listen to that anymore. You're not going to rob me of my victory and my joy and my peace and my strength and my walk with you. When I know who I am in you, I will walk that way. I will worship that way. I will celebrate that way. I will pray that way. I will live that way in victory forevermore. I'm no longer under the judgment of the devil. I've been set free by the grace of the Lord. The devil's a liar. He's always whispering what he wants us to hear. And I don't know why we like hearing that voice. I mean, it's like the old Tom and Jerry, right? The cat, poor cat, he always is a little devil. Little angel tell Tom, no, Tom, don't. Little devil, oh, come on, get him, boy, get him, get him. Why do we listen to that? Somehow we think what the devil said, the devil puts a good twist on what he tells us. And he's smooth. He is so silky smooth. The devil is not going to put something in front of you that you know is so obvious. He's subtle. He puts something that appears pleasant to the eyes and to the thoughts, and then he snatches us and puts his claws into us and begins to drag us away. Say, you know what? No. Here's what God did for me. He hath not dealt with me according to my sins. He's not going to reward me according to my iniquities. He paid the price for me. That's why it's a wonderful name, church. That's why it's a beautiful name. That's why it's a powerful name. No other name can do this. No other name has done this. That's why the Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. It's not an option. It's not a may happen. It's a will happen. Every tongue will confess. Every knee will bow to the Lord Jesus of being Lord and God of all. Next verse, verse 12, I believe. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. This was prophesied long before Jesus came to accomplish this prophecy. But here we see David talking about this, having understanding that my iniquities are going to be removed as far as the east is from the west. Something's going to happen in the future that's going to change my forever. And boy, did it. Jesus changes your forever. Look at the next scripture. This is in, the book of Micah, the little book of Micah, chapter 7. Verse 18. This is all Old Testament we're reading right now. All Old Testament. Who is a God like unto you that pardoneth iniquity? Pardoneth our iniquity. Not just what we did last night, but what we'll do next Saturday night or the next year. God, you stepped in and paid a full price, and you see me as redeemed and forgiven when I can't see myself that way. God, I just see myself as always needing something more. I see myself as always not enough. I see myself as not worthy. I see myself as broken and a castaway. I see myself as somebody that doesn't fit in anywhere. Well, you fit into the kingdom of God because you're his child. No matter how you look, where you come from, you're his child. And that makes you part of a very special family. This prophet says, who is God that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He that retaineth not his anger forever, because why? He likes mercy. We have got such a picture of God, and preachers and some teachers are absolutely destroying the truth of God's word through ignorant teaching and preaching. God is not waiting around a corner to hijack you. He's not a jack in the box that when you do something wrong, he pops out, woohoo, gotcha. That's how sometimes a picture of God is painted. Now, for some of you back here, I can feel your little spirit back here. It's okay. You're thinking, well, Pastor, there's got to be judgment. There was judgment. You know where that judgment was? God, somebody get this. Judgment has been passed upon Jesus for all of us. We don't have to live, church, in fear of every deed we do wrong, something bad happening to us. Jesus went to the cross for all of our wrong stuff and all of our junk. The judgment of sin was placed upon Jesus. He died with our sin and he rose with our forgiveness. Judgment was on him. And we still got preachers trying to scare the living daylights out of people to walk the line or else what? Man, Jesus died. He rose. He said it is finished. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he will return for the church and his children. And nothing can ever change that. It's already done. My God, why are we trying to scare people instead of telling them how much God did for them and how he loves them? And that love is what draws us to himself. That's what draws. He likes mercy. He's not. The Bible says he knows our frame. He formed us, didn't he? You know, my wife, if she's mad at me, I don't talk to her. I leave her alone. I don't know if all women are like that, but she is. I just leave her alone because she don't want to talk. She'll shut me out. Okay, gotcha. But honey, I'm sorry. I don't want to hear it. Nothing. Just leave me alone. Okay, gotcha. I'll go fishing, be back in a couple hours, whatever. Love you. You know what? God made Melanie. He made that little stubborn streak or that little wall she puts up or that, you know. You know, he made it. He made my big foot go into my big mouth over and over before I think and say things I shouldn't say. God created that, and he knows me. Do any of you have a, you ain't got to raise your hands. Any of you got a quick temper in here? Well, a couple of you honest. That's good. Well, you know what? I'm glad you're not God. Because y'all be putting the wrath up on me. Nikki and Tammy pointing that finger. Ooh, he made me mad. Die in hell. Glad you're not God. We all have our issues, whether it's stubbornness, whether it's anger, temper, whether it's, you know, a quick tongue, whether it's, you know, whatever it is. We have our issues. But God delights in mercy, knowing our issues, and yet he still loves us. Thomas got issues, don't he, Laura? Yeah, I know. Look at that haircut. God still loves you. God, I'm telling you. God's mercy. Next verse, 19. Look at this. This is the prophet talking. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities and will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Church, this is the Bible. This is in your KJV Bible. This isn't some weird translation. This is the old-timey, independent Baptist, fire and brimstone KJV. And here's what it says. He will cast all your sins into the depths of the sea. The prophet Micah was prophesying of a Savior, of a Messiah that was to come, that would accomplish all these things, and he did. That's how we've got to start seeing ourselves. I am forgiven. I am loved. God paid a price for me, and I'm not going to let the devil keep me bound, wallowing in my self-pity. Oh, God, I'm not worthy enough. Oh, God, I'm not holy enough. Here's what I pray God speaks to you. Shut up and serve me. Shut up and follow me. I've done the work. Quit your whining. Quit your belly aching. Don't you know? I kind of paid a price, and I kind of went through living hell for you. So can you suck it up and realize who you are in me, that you are a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you will wear a crown one day because of the price that I paid. My God. But man, we just love that self-pity. It's like the old country song, right? Misery loves, well, I don't know if it's a country song, but it's a saying, misery loves company. And heard this song on the radio the other day. I was flipping through this by Kid Rock. Never heard it before, called Picture. Oh. Kid Rock. It's talking about, you know, going to a bar and he's drinking and somebody's dog dies, girl left me, with a different girl overnight. I don't know, anyway. Like, good Lord, what is this song? And it's talking about, you know, like, that's how we live our lives sometimes, man. I mean, we always see it's what's wrong, and we don't see what is right. Yes, we're going to have problems. We're going to have attacks. We're going to have battles. But, man, we already have the victory because of what Jesus has done. We already have won the battle. We won the war because he fought it for us. Every giant's already been slayed. Every lion's mouth's already been tamed. Every Red Sea's already been parted. He has finished the work for us, and we just rest and celebrate in the finished work of Jesus as his children and say, you know what? You're my father, and I'm your child, and Lord, I trust you. I trust you through hell and fire water. I trust you. When the waters rise, I won't drown. God, when the cave comes on, I won't be sunk in. Whatever happens, God, I trust you above it all because of what you are in my life. I see you, God, as not just my Savior, but God, but as my protector. God, as my counselor. God, you fight for me. You watch over me. You love me. And you love me with such a love that no human being can even, the closest relationship we can have of God's love is how we love our children, I guess. And that doesn't even touch how God loves us. Because even with our children, we sometimes maybe treat them based on how they treat us. That's human nature. Well, you go smart me off, you ain't going to Walmart. You staying home. Aren't you glad God don't say that? You go smart me off, you ain't coming to heaven. I mean, man, thank God. I know sometimes I say that, y'all look at me like, oh, now I love my kids unconditionally. Come, not like God loves us. Not like God loves us. Because we do reward our kids according to their iniquities, don't we? Little Matthew acts up too much. Here comes the old hand. Take position. I'm winding up on the count of three. One, two, three. Kelly is rewarding Matthew according to his iniquity. The Bible says God doesn't do that to us. Isn't that different? Man. Oh, somebody's going to get this. Somebody's going to hear this truth. It's going to set you free. God. Next verse. Jeremiah. I'm going to read the first four verses of Jeremiah. This is the famous chapter. I say famous. We've all heard it. About the potter's house. And verse 4 is the key verse. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Y'all know what that means. You see people doing that, making clay on the wheels they turn. And look at verse 4. Here's the key. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter. That's what Calvary did. Calvary took the marred clay of humanity, and he changed it and made it into something that was good, something that was beautiful, something that was righteous, something that was holy, not because of us. Oh, man, the Bible says, you know, that grace is a gift, right? Lest any man boast. And how we love to boast. And church, I get so frustrated with stuff that I see that people are put people in such bondage over stuff that's not even in the Bible. I told you a while back about a preacher I ran into. He's an older retired preacher now. Ran into him one day and we were talking. He said he went to this church for a revival they were having one night. And so I was sitting there, and this was the context of his conversation. This is what was important to this preacher. I was sitting there. I think I shared it Wednesday night, didn't I, Marjorie? This story. He was sitting there, and a guy came to service, and he had Bermuda shorts on. And the whole conversation, we're standing at Food Line parking lot, all he's talking about, he said, man, I couldn't live. I kept looking at that guy over in Bermuda shorts, and we're sitting here, and he come to church looking like that, and I couldn't. And I looked at him, I said, man, I said, that's not what's important at all. He was in church. Did you not see that? And this, I mean, let me find that verse. I got it for you here. Let's see here. Yeah, Habakkuk 3:6. Those that wear Bermuda shorts shall burn forever in the lake of fire. Habakkuk 3:6. Church, I am absolutely befounded with things that I hear as a minister. And I'm like, you're supposed to be preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is not the gospel at all. It does not make one more saved if they wear shorts or not. It doesn't make one more saved if they got a haircut like me or, you know, a haircut like Tommy. It don't matter. It don't make one of us more saved than the other. And we're not teaching the truth of God's message. Jesus didn't die on the cross and says, it is finished. No more beauty shorts shall be worn. It is finished. No more earrings in the ears. It is finished. No more hair past 3 millimeters of the back of your neck. It is finished. It's finished because we can never see God without this happening. We would have been left in a place of limbo apart from God. It's where the prophets were. They were waiting on the Messiah to come. And when that blood was shed, David and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Isaiah and Moses and Caleb and all of them now, their debt was paid to. And they could receive and walk in the fullness of the plan that God had for them. Here's the prophet saying he can make another vessel that seemed good. And that's exactly what he did at Calvary. Here's how he did it. Look at the next verse. Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded for our transgressions. If you're doing any elbows here this morning, that means you too. The one doing this, it also means you. He died for your transgression. He died for your, there you go, Don. He died for your iniquities. He died for those. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. I don't have to live in fear no more. I can have peace of who I am in him. I can have peace of where I'm going. I can have peace that he is my father and he's not going to throw me away because I fail. Nobody can keep that standard. We will go mad trying to walk a line of complete perfection, thinking that's what pleases God. What pleases God is that we trust the plan that he put in place 2,000 years ago. What pleases God is we say, yes, Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ paid my debt and my sin is all washed away. That all, the song says, all my hope is in Jesus. That I believe. And I trust that. And then he goes on to say, with his stripes, we are healed. Next verse, Brandon. We on his stripes, we are healed. The stripes upon him healed us of a major, major sickness we all had. And it's not cancer, and it's not arthritis, it's not heart disease, it's not diabetes. He healed us of sin. Sin. And I don't care how much time we spend in the presence of God, we're going to be tempted, and there's times we're going to fail. And there's times we're going to say something we shouldn't say. There's times we're going to think something we shouldn't think. There's times we're going to see something we shouldn't see, listen to something we shouldn't listen to. And we walk away thinking, man, why did I do that? I know better. God is saying, it's okay. It's okay. I know the frame. I know who you are. You know, Hollywood paints a great picture to our women, especially of how a woman should look. You know, me and Mel look at older shows or older movie. And we make jokes now saying, you know, Marilyn Monroe would be fat today. Marilyn Monroe would not make any catalog fronts today. She'd be considered, what's the nice word? Big and tall? Big boned? Plus size, yeah. Marilyn Monroe would be plus size. And we have painted this picture to our young people of how women should look to be appealing and what a man wants in a woman. I can tell you something. What every man wants in a woman is one major thing, a good woman. That's what they really want, a good woman. It don't matter how curvy or not curvy she is. Don't matter how many bends in the road there is around her. Every man wants a good woman. And so Hollywood and movies and all this social media paints a picture of what a woman should look like or what a good man should be like, and they try to find success. And none of that changes anything. What defines true victory is to know that I've been healed of my sin, sick disease. And God loves me whether I'm a size 0 or a size 42 plus. They make that, I don't know. God loves me whether I'm bald or whether I got a head full of hair. God loves me whether I got tattoos or whether I don't. God loves me whether I'm a Democrat or Republican. That's harder to say sometimes, but it does. God loves me no matter what. He loves me. And it's that love, it's that knowledge, it's that understanding of that love he has for you that'll set you free. Because, man, all we see is the continued failures of what we're not. And that's a lie of the enemy. Next verse. This is verse 6, Isaiah. We like sheep have gone astray. You know why? Because we're all bad. That's pretty good. I just thought. That's why we've gone astray. Because we're all bad. Look at this. We have turned everyone to his own way. Man, we do our own thing, right? I told Melly, I really think parenting, maybe it's not, it may not be. I wonder how effective parenting really is. Because I think your kids will do what they want to do, no matter what you say to them. You know, because it's like talking to a wall sometimes. Do you hear the word coming out of my mouth? Hello, are you there? Blink twice if you hear my voice. Okay. We all are going to do our own thing, and most of us have done our own thing for at least a season of our lives. And we find out that our own thing most time is not the right thing. Not most time. We've all gone our own way, and look at this. And the Lord has laid on him. Who's him? Jesus. The iniquity of who? Us all. Here is this Lamb of God. We've gone astray. We can't keep it in the road. Even after we're saved, we can't keep it in the road. I mean, we're holding on like, remember the old cars that had no power steering? Whew. Power, no power brakes. You'd be mashing that thing, putting all your weight, getting a cramp in your leg, trying to stop that car. Stop! And turning that wheel. Your power steering goes out now, man. It's terrible. You can't turn a car. That's our lives, man. We've lived our lives one time with no power steering and no brakes. Just going whichever way. And it says here that God had laid on him, that Jesus took all the iniquity upon himself. Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for what? Sin. Our sin. Your sin, my sin. And he shall see his seed be prolonged. Prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see his seed, he's talking about Jesus, being prolonged because of the resurrection. That he would resurrect, and that seed, that sin placed upon him, would yield an eternal resurrected life, which also yields a resurrected life for each of us, because all the debt was placed upon him. Pastor, I got to do something, don't I? Don't I have to do something? You've just got to believe that what he did was enough. But don't I have to just believe what he did was enough? It is not by works we are saved. The Bible says that by the flesh shall no man be justified. No man can be declared righteous by what he does. We are declared righteous by what Jesus did on that cross. And that's the price he paid for us. Next verse. I think it's my last one. Hebrews 8:12. I could do this for months on this one topic, I'm telling you. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins. And this is new for some of you that say, well, where's the New Testament? Here it is. There's a bunch more, but I was picking one today. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities. What does it say? Will I remember no more? So for those of us that are waiting on St. Peter to unroll the scroll and pull out Joe Brown's name, and Joe's standing here sweating with a handkerchief, Joe Brown. Here's Peter saying, okay, on May the 5th, 1961, Joe Brown. And Joe's like, oh, brother. Yep, I remember that one. And then Joe Brown on July of 1973, and he's like, 73. Ooh, yeah, that was really a bad one. And we see jokes like that all the time, but church, there's not going to be a scroll where God is pointing out every single one of your sins. The Bible says here that the sin has been judged and pardoned upon the cross, and he will remember them no more. What we will hear is him saying, son, daughter, welcome home. That's what we're going to hear. Welcome home, because we are loved. How are you seeing yourself? If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, you're seeing yourself wrong. See yourself as God sees you. But that is so hard, because I know it's hard, because we feel so unworthy. But man, think about how that feeling of unworthiness keeps us bound to what the devil tells us to do. How many times, you know, you start a diet, right, and you're like, well, I'll start tomorrow. Then you get the next day and you blow it on lunch, or you get dessert and you're like, you know, I blew it. Well, this is the last one. I'm starting tomorrow. You know, we blow it over and over and over, and we always will in spiritual things too. We're going to blow it. You know, I'm not going to always be the husband that God has called me to be. I'm not going to be the father that God has called me to be. I'm not going to be the pastor God has called me to be. I make mistakes. I fuss at my wife. I snap at my wife. I'm sometimes quick with my wife. I sometimes don't listen to my wife. Do any of you guys have that problem? You don't listen to your wife. I'm watching a game on TV and she's over there. She's talking like a rat on a wheel. I'm just sitting there. You know, I'm like, oh, honey, I'm sorry. Did you say something? I fail and I get it. But I am so thankful that Jesus loves me through my failures. That he sees James and thinks, poor old boy. He's doing the best he can. Bless his heart. I don't blame her talking like that. I'd be tuning her out too. That's what God's saying. <I'm like, laughs> You are loved, church. You are loved. Dee, I want you to get ready to sing that song. You say. In just a minute, okay? Marge will play for you. Can you do it? It sounds funny. That's okay. God will take care of that. You can do it. Get ready for it a minute. The thing I want each of you to leave here today with is Dee's going to attempt to sing the song here in a minute. That you are loved by God. And you know what? Don't matter what nobody else says about you. Don't let nobody else put you in a box. God took you out of the box. You know, it comes to peer pressure. I know there's a lot of peer pressure in school, middle school, high school, even with adults. There's peer pressure with adults. I'm a pastor, you know. I'm around the pastor all the time. You know, pastor say, yeah, we was a little off last Sunday. Only had 900. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, we was a little off too. Yeah, but we had a pretty good crowd. That's my response. We all have peer pressure. You know, we all want to, you know, fit in or feel like we are somebody. I don't care anybody. And for those of you that say this, I'm going to be real honest. Don't anybody get mad at me. For those of you say, well, I don't care who likes me. You're lying. You do care. Nobody wants to be not liked. We all want to be liked, don't we, Don? We want to be liked. Barbara, do you like Don? We want to be liked. And we want to fit in no matter where we go. You don't want to be the odd man out. Nobody's talking to you. I don't, you know, we do that so we build a wall because we don't want to face the reality that, you know, maybe you're not liked. So be likable. The Bible says be hospitable. Hospitable one to another. See, if you're not hospitable, you're probably not going to be hospitable back. So don't, if you go to work and say, she will never speak to me. Let me ask you this. Do you ever speak to her? Well, no, because she won't speak to. Look, just speak to her. Remember the old Andy Griffith episode? Good morning, darling. You know, walk in. Good morning. How are you today? I like that new dress. Have you lost weight? It won't be long. They'll be on your side. I'm telling you. The point of all that, say this, God likes you. No matter whether others do or not, God loves you. And he paid a price for his creation, which is all of us. And I am so thankful. I want you to leave here. Do you make your way up here? Marge, up here. I want you to receive this truth. We've read scripture after scripture talking about our sin being forgiven, our sin being pardoned. This is all the love of God, and this is how God sees us. God sees you as his child, forgiven and redeemed, not as a failure and not as a mess and not as hopeless. We see ourselves that way. I want you to see yourself as God sees you and put your foot on the devil's head and say, I'm walking out of here today knowing I am loved by God. No matter what you say, devil, I'm loved by God. God loves me no matter what I've done in the past, no matter what, God loves me. And I'm going to start seeing myself that way, whether you see me that way or not. God, I want to see myself that way. And she sings this song this morning, You Say. It's a beautiful song, talking about the love of God. The altar is always open. If you need to know you're loved by God, step out and just come to this altar and just say, God, I need to know that you love me. And God's going to answer that prayer. There is no doubt God is going to fill you this morning with a peace and a presence and a truth that, yes, I am loved, God, and I'm thankful for that. Exchange your ashes this morning for his beauty. Exchange your brokenness this morning for his healing. And see what God will do with this. Thank you. Joy. You need joy in your life to overcome. You need joy. That's your strength, Courtney, is joy. Joy will help you overcome. Father, I pray for Courtney right now in the name of Jesus that joy filled her life. You have brought her so far, God, and you're not done with her yet. You have a future that she's not yet walked in. Today, I pray these chains of bondage be broken, these chains of discouragement be released, that, Lord, she comes out of the prison she's in today, and she is set free in the name of Jesus. Let the joy of the Lord fill her soul today in Jesus' name. Enemy, you're a liar. Voices, you must cease to exist. Die in the name of Jesus. Every voice of defeat, every voice of lie, die in the name of Jesus. And let her only hear your voice, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, not my failure, but the blood of the Lamb.